Hello and welcome to the Drive Time Pod. It's a show where us white bitches talk about whatever the fuck we want. My name is Mariah.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Sarah.
And this time, this day, we are talking about the elephant in the room. The one, the only.
Our patron saint.
Driver. The patron saint of the Drive Time Pod. It's very exciting. So before we really, truly get started, Corey, please explain to everybody, why aren't we doing historical figures again?
Because I broke my foot.
And we love you for it, but you are a cripple and you couldn't function last week.
So. Not at all. Not even close. Could not. I'm barely functioning this week. I was not functioning at all last week.
Listen, barely functioning is better than not functioning at all. And we love and appreciate you. Excellent job. So they asked me to choose something and I was like, well, you know what we all have in common? That we don't have to do basically any research for.
The one, the only.
Adam Driver. So what is everyone drinking? Sarah, what are we drinking?
I'm drinking water.
Surprising. Shocking, no one. Crazy. Awesome. Corey, if you're drinking liquor, I'm going to murder you.
No. No. I'm staying with my parents, and they are very responsible people and do not allow me near booze while I'm dying. So I just have water and Fresca.
Good job. I'm drinking a pear cider. Surprising.
Fancy.
Is it Woodchuck?
It is Ace cider.
Oh, I've had Ace pear cider.
I like it.
It's so delicious. It reminds me of undergrad, honestly. Because I was like,
I was going to say, we always got Woodchuck pear cider at this time of the year in undergrad.
Oh, Woodchuck's so good, but I can't find that anywhere.
They had Ace pear cider on tap at, what was the Irish pub?
Oh, yeah.
I never remember.
Pat's. Is it Patrick's?
Yeah, at Patrick's. They had it on
tap. Is that what it was
tap.
Called?
Yes, it was Pat's Irish pub.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember now. Mm-hmm. Patrick's. I'm like, I didn't attend as many years as you guys did, so I also wasn't legally able to drink the years I did attend.
Fair.
So fair. My college bar knowledge is not great.
Let me tell you, me and Pats are buddies.
Me and Pats are not as good of friends as me and the Jaeger.
Yeah.
The Jaeger.
Yeah.
What a dive. I miss that place.
I love that place. Such a great place. Such a hellhole.
it's such a hole in the wall with the sweatiest.
Literally
pizza.
A hole in the basement.
It's so good. But it was better than the box.
Oh my God. No, the box was legitimately like, I remember people were like, if you want to get raped, you go to the box. If you want good pizza, you go to the Jaeger, because one was upstairs and one was downstairs.
It's really upsetting that that place has a reputation.
Those
of,
are your choices.
Yeah.
Like how.
And then
you
I was
can
like,
go you can out, either get pizza. Get raped or do you want pizza?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cool. Because like the frat boys would go to the box and roofie people as initiation. So that was fun. I just always went to Pat's. It was around the corner, far away from all of that.
Very fair.
We went to a very small school in a very small town.
Where there was like four bars and we went to all of them. You know. Anyway, so we should go ahead and like get started.
So for people who don't know, who are maybe new.
Yes. Adam Driver, middle name Douglas, which is my grandpa's name, which is weird. Just made that connection. Hate that for me. He's an American actor and former United States Marine Corpsman. You might know him most famously as the evil Kylo Ren and the goodest boy ever, Ben Solo, from the Star Wars sequel trilogy. But he's been in a lot of different things.
Including our podcast art.
Exactly.
He's our patron saint.
He is a thickums boy with many, many thoughts in his brain and many emotions to yell. And and he has been nominated for many awards. He is a philanthropist through he and his wife's nonprofit called Arts in the Armed Forces. And he's a Juilliard alumnus, which is crazy because, you know, only like 30 people get to graduate from that school every year.
Oh, is it really that low?
Yes.
I didn't know. I mean, I knew it was like exclusive, but
he's part of, let's look it up because I have to look it up because I don't know what group he was in. But like starting in like, I want to say 1970s, they started like doing this Juilliard School of Acting. And so but they graduate in groups. And so there's only a certain amount of people within each group that can graduate each year. And, it doesn't say, but I would imagine it's somewhere in the 30s. He was part of group 30, whatever. And it was really hilarious because he was 4 years older than everyone else because he went in the military. So he started at like 22, instead of like 18, like everybody else. So, and he was very intense and he ran everywhere with chicken. There's I watch a lot of like Adam Driver TikTok is mostly what I get, and it's just like all these people who like knew him and like they tell stories about him and like when he was a working New York actor, when he was at Juilliard, or I met him at a Netflix party and he's a very intense man. Like that makes
this checks out
this checks out for him.
All of this checks out.
Exactly.
And while at Juilliard, he met...
Oh, his wife.
Joanne. The light of our lives.
The light of his.
Because she puts up with him.
I know. Oh, man. So let's look at personal life. The personal life section of his Wikipedia is so small.
Yay!
It is so tiny. like, the first sentence is, Driver married Joanne Tucker... in June 2013. They have a son whose birth they kept hidden from the press for 2 years.
So proud of them.
Like, that tells you how intensely private he is. So, like, anything that ever happens with Adam Driver is... It feels like those old-time movie stars.
Yes.
You know, like, Cary Grant, or, like, you know...
My mom always talks about how Katharine Hepburn and... Who's
Humphrey
the guy?
Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart. No. Who's the guy that she was always with, but his wife wouldn't divorce him because she was super Catholic, so they could like live in New York together and like nobody would ever bother them. But I can't remember his name now. I can picture him in my head. Mm. Anyway, he's definitely got old school Hollywood vibes.
Yeah, because he's just like, he and his wife are like just never in the press, and I kind of appreciate that about them. But
I love it.
But at the same time, it does make the pickings slim. Jafio. So like, I feel like I have to really like obsess over other things, you know, but like I'm obsessing over his like work, which is more positive than obsessing over him as a person. Exactly. Which is, you know, more respectful, better.
Yeah.
You know. Etc. Anyway,
I just took a personality workshop, and in my top five values, like the most important things to me, privacy is one of them. And so I just really appreciate that. And I can also, like, what is the word? Oh, like I understand it too. And so I'm like, I just makes me very happy. Anyways, carry on.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I agree.
Raise your hands, team. raise your hands.
Audio medium.
Shut the fuck up. upon looking upon his visage, did you say, yes, pretty boy?
So, I first saw him in Girls. So I'm not going to lie. You don't notice his face because he's normally just naked in Girls. You're looking at a lot of other things. And he's the best part of Girls. He's the only reason I kept watching Girls. Girls is a piece of shit. But
he honestly is.
He is incredible.
And I do kind of like Jessa, but I haven't watched all of it.
I don't remember which one she.
Which white girl was it?
She was the British one. Okay. The British one who was always on drugs.
Yes, she's pretty great too. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. My what I know of girls, I basically, it's like just gifts of scenes.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
That Sackler's in, which, by the way, that's the name of the character that Adam Driver plays in Girls, is Adam Sackler. So he's like Adam playing Adam, and it's just weird.
Yeah.
But apparently the name Adam Sackler was in the original script. So it's just like.
Yeah, it's not exactly like a uncommon white boy name.
It really, truly isn't. It is a fairly milquetoast name, I must say.
Yeah. But then, so I saw him in that, and I mean, I liked it, and I liked his character, and I did keep watching it because of him. But then didn't, like, I am not the one who goes and looks actors up. I leave that to Mariah. I let her keep me informed.
Yeah.
But then I was in The Force Awakens, and he takes his helmet off. Right? That's what he was in first? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I was like, oh, wait, I know that face. How do I know that face? And then, you know, I was like, oh, cool, I like him. But, like, it wasn't a big deal at first for me.
Hmm. Interessant. Sarah, Digas.
So, the very first thing I probably saw him in might have been Girls, but, like, conservative Christian family. Didn't have HBO, didn't watch it, but I distinctly remember seeing him in What If.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So known as it's also called the F word or something like that, with Daniel Radcliffe.
I forgot that. Yeah, that's right.
And that was his, like, one of his first, I think it was his first rom-com after Harry Potter. And he plays the best friend, Alan.
You mean Daniel Radcliffe. Because Adam Driver was... not in Harry Potter.
No, I know. Okay, did I not say Daniel Radcliffe? Because no. I meant to. I said it in my head.
I was so confused.
I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great. Continue.
Thanks. It was Daniel Radcliffe's rom-com after Harry Potter.
Yes.
And Adam Driver played his best friend, Alan, who has one of the greatest lines of all time in that movie.
If you would be so kind as to do the honors.
Do my best.
Yes.
Definitely can't do it as well as other people. But I just had sex. I'm about to eat nachos. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Unless you ruin it with some sad shit you're about to say.
Basically. So I saw him in What If. And I remember thinking he was hysterical. Don't necessarily remember if I found him attractive or not. It wasn't until The Force Awakens I saw it, and I'm like, his voice, I'm done. I don't even care what his face looks like. I'm sold.
Uh-huh. Agreed.
This bad guy, quote unquote, is hot. And then he, you know, took his mask off, and I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. I like it. And I remember seeing it with my sisters, and they're like, really, Sarah? And I'm like, shut up. Let me be me.
Yes,
let me
really.
Like what I like.
Because they're like, yeah, we'll admit he was hot with his mask on, but then he took it off. And I'm like, I don't agree with that. But they know that I have very different tastes than they do. My sister, like, one of them, she likes, and there's nothing wrong with this, preface that, everybody is beautiful. But like her type is like Chris Hemsworth.
So conventional.
Very conventional, clean cut,
mm-hmm.
short hair, muscles.
Right. The one where there's a skit on SNL about which Chris are you? Because they all look the same.
Yes.
Yes. Which, yeah. Side note. No side note. That's it.
But yeah. And then my love just kind of slowly continued to grow over the course of the sequel films,
mm-hmm.
Ending in an obsession with the last one.
Yeah, man.
And, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, the first movie that I so here's the thing. The first movie that I remember him in and the first movie I saw him in are very different.
Fair.
Because I just didn't know.
Put two and two together?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, yeah. The first movie I saw him in was J. Edgar. Because,
okay.
He
got an itty bitty role in that
itty
one,
bitty. Then the next
with Leonardo?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Where, oh, yeah,
he's I own that role. Movie.
Yeah, he's in it for like a hot second.
Great.
J. Edgar is an okay movie.
Yeah, it wasn't like my fave.
But the thing is, it did introduce him to Marty Scorsese, and we love silence in this house. But anyway, the next one I saw him in, again, didn't notice, didn't really care, was Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Because he plays the
he
telegram.
He does get
off
like
of...
a 5 minutes in that one, though.
It's true. Now,
I recently tried to watch all of them. I still have 3 more movies to get through,
which is ridiculous because those are the 3 best ones. So,
this is part of how we bonded at the beginning of quarantine, though. Like, this is why our podcast is named what it's named. Because we bonded over Adam Driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's be real, okay? I just want you all to realize that I have loved Star Wars my whole life.
Yes.
And walking into the theater, I knew nothing about The Force Awakens. Like, literally not a goddamn thing. I had not even seen a trailer for it. I had no idea who
was
in it. I had no idea what was going on. Which is why I think I love it so much. Because I walked in so blind. All I knew is I was getting new Star Wars. And I, like... managed to do a social media blockout of the entire thing.
That's awesome.
Insane. It's insane. I kind of was able to do it for the next two, but not nearly to the extent that I did with this one. And so I was like, who is this Vader fanboy?
Yes.
That's a weird voice modulator. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And then, just like Sarah, he takes off his helmet, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My first thought was, his hair is incredible.
Uh-huh. It is so great.
And I'm going to be real with you. I was like, he's got the most interesting looking face I've ever seen. I wouldn't call it pretty. Because it's not, it's not. But it took me, I want to say, 3 years of me struggling to admit it to myself that I'm like, okay, he's a very handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like, he's not symmetrical, but that's right. Part of the charm. You know, like
symmetry
every
is
angle
boring.
Is different.
Symmetry and is very boring.
Like he looks like a piece of modernist art. Where, like, the more that you look at it, the more fascinating it becomes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, or, like, the more that you're just, like, intrigued by it. Like, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Like, it works, but how?
Yes.
Well, I feel like it also needs to be said that when I met Mariah, she had and still has a very distinct type.
Yes.
And what is your specific name for your type? Because I remember it was something about strange alien-looking men.
Well, yeah. At the time, it was most just said British tall, gangly aliens.
Yeah, but what I have so this was like so outside of my type because let's be real, Mr. Driver is a thickums.
He's not scrawny.
He's
that's
he's
true.
Boy.
The other
he's
guys
not very sensitive and light, very hard and angry. You know? it was a slap to the face of like, why? And it turns out my type is very specific, which is like whatever your man is doing, he's doing it to the fullest extent. He's embracing it. So if that is like being soft and gentle, great. Like, you are the softest pastel boy. If it is being motherfucking rage on legs, Adam Driver, yes, good. And then my other type is women who don't look like they can beat me up, but they for sure could.
Right.
Just so as y'all know, because Daisy Ridley is... like, literally Hello. Watching the Star Wars sequel trilogy is, like, me just being like,
So much.
I want
so
to
much.
Be both of you, and then I also want to be with both of you. Maybe at the same time. Anyway.
That's okay. A fanfic episode.
Listen.
That is for a fanfic episode.
You're correct. any boozle. So here's the thing is that Adam Driver's face has been ridiculed for so long.
Rude.
It's very rude. And because let's be real, when it comes to traditional beauty standards, our boy does not meet it. And like, why? Like, and I feel like that's why he is so in the moment, especially right now, because in a sea of Chris's, he's Adam.
Right.
You know, like.
It was so poetic.
Thank you.
Corey, embroider it for her.
In a sea of Chris, why be a Chris when you can be an Adam? And then I'll do the lot of C's. Perfect. Done.
Good. So, like, it's just, it kind of makes me sad that people, like, just rag on him, and then also people who, like him and find him attractive, because I'm like, you just don't like him because, you don't find him attractive because of one of three things. Number one, you're, for some reason, upset with the size of his nose. That's anti-Semitic, just saying.
It's deeply rude.
It's deeply rude, number one. Number two, I'm talking into my thing.
Water bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. Number one. Number two, you're probably upset with the fact that his jaw is not symmetrical, which is... What bitch do you know that is perfectly symmetrical?
Nobody.
Well, every single Hollywood bitch gets all of everything fixed. So that's really what they're upset about.
Exactly. And then the third one, which I do take, is like, okay, that's fine. He looks like he can stomp you into the ground and wouldn't care.
Correct.
And I feel like that's just his resting bitch face. Like, he doesn't. He's not a very good smiler because of his teeth.
No. Oh. My absolute favorite interview I've ever seen him do is he was talking about how he can't take the subway in New York anymore. And he was so angry about it. But it's because he's so big. And he can't do it. Plus, he's just so popular. People mob him. And I was like, you know, I love that this is what you're angry about, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's...
I mean, not that I don't understand. I think that would be... Because he is a New Yorker. Like, he lives in New York full-time or whatever. But... That would be very frustrating to not be able to take the subway. But
so frustrating that
you're also rich enough you could have your own car service.
Yeah, so like it really at this point, like, do you know how much money each of those people, the stars of Star Wars, made on those new movies on each movie?
No,
something stupid.
$15 million.
Well, yep, all something right. Stupid.
Yeah.
But this is why, right? This is why, because it's not just that you're getting paid to do a job, you're also being paid to deal with the hazard of being a Star Wars character.
Right.
For the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like Daniel Craig gets paid a lot to be James Bond, but it's also because like he has to wear this mantle of James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of problems that come with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes, and if anybody should have been paid more, it is John Boyega.
Mm-hmm.
That is me. Who should have been treated better? John Boyega. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm going to get off my John Boyega soapbox. One of these days, we're going to do a whole episode dedicated to him because I love him so much. And yes. as the years progress, the more respect I have for him. You know? So let's talk about some favorite movies and some least favorite movies. So, of all of the Driver canon, what is your favorite movie that he's in? And this is different than your favorite, like, your favorite character or the favorite, like, this is his best performance. But, like, this can be a movie where he's just, like, maybe it's, like, What If? Like, where he's, it's not technically, like, an Adam Driver vehicle or anything like that, but he just happens to be in it. So, like, what's your favorite Adam Driver movie?
Logan Lucky.
Of course.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
I knew it.
Fucking love that movie. It's perfection. All of it.
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Sarah?
I'm going to say probably What If, because it's the only one. It's the one I've watched the most, probably, out of all of the movies that he's been in that I've seen. But there are a lot of excellent ones.
For sure. Well, the movie that I've seen the most of him is The Force Awakens, because I saw that movie 6 times in theaters. Remember theaters?
Remember theaters?
Yeah. Yeah, I went the other day.
Listen, shut the fuck up. I live in LA. Everything is closed.
Mariah still can't go outside.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah. I saw Star Wars. It was wonderful.
Listen, I want to let you know that I love you, but at the same time, actually,
I have an additional favorite.
Okay.
Because I'm looking up at the list because I can't always remember. This is Where I Leave You.
I love that movie. So
that would be my second over like other stuff he's done.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think that is one of the most surprising movies that I've seen. Besides, like, I feel like that's the thing. It's like I always walk into an Adam Driver movie expecting one thing, and then I just like get bitch slapped in the face with surprises. and then. Like that one and Logan Lucky were both such surprises for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I legit watched This Is Where I Leave You only because he was in it. Like it was like in quarantine, we were going through all the movies and I was like, okay, whatever. Like it's his movie. I'll watch it, but it doesn't look like my wheelhouse. And I was like crying and happy and like Tina Fey is so fucking good. Incredible.
It's so
all of it. Yeah. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And then, the movie of his that I literally can't stop thinking about, I just watched it because he was in it. And then I was just like, I had an existential crisis because of it, which is Silence, which is the movie where he and Andrew Garfield are priests in Japan.
Jesuit priests.
Yeah. And it's, I thought it was going to be a White Xavier movie and it was a deep discussion about religion and that way that savior mentality, and like it's 3 hours long and I wasn't prepared for that, but it was so good. So like I would say that those are probably my four favorite movies, but like up at the top is of course The Force Awakens, because it is my favorite Star Wars movie, because it's basically exactly like A New Hope, but the acting is better. There are diverse people in it, and the special effects and fights are better. So like it's everything I wanted and more. So there's that. My least favorite movie that he's in is Patterson.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I could not finish Patterson.
Oh.
I caught like half an hour in and I was like, there's nothing happening. There's nothing happening. There's been 3 of movies of his that I can't get through. And that's the one I got the least through, because I'm like, this is so boring. It's beautiful, but it's not enough to even keep me engaged.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are the 3? Then, so that we know.
Okay, so the other one, again, I just because I don't really like the Coen brothers that much, it was Inside Llewyn Davies. Like I thought that the premise was interesting and the style of it was cool and the music was great. And then that scene of Dear Mr. Kennedy, like that scene is incredible, but like
The movie itself,
I was like, and then Oscar Isaac's in it, and he's beautiful too. Oh, so good.
And then I think I remember us having a discussion about that movie, and it was like, anything the Coen brothers do where they create the story is like not great.
No,
anything where if they're re-updating it or they're taking, you know, Homer's story of Odysseus, the Iliad, it's amazing.
Absolutely. And then the other one that I was not able to finish was While We're Young, which is a Noah Baumbach. Surprise, surprise. Oh. Like, again, yeah.
I did watch it all. I watched it all for you guys.
I watched half of it. I got halfway through that movie and was like, what's the...
Yeah. I remember distinctly texting Mariah as I was watching a bunch of these movies and being like, Mariah. And she's like, I couldn't even try that one, Sarah. I'm like, yeah. You're welcome. I'm watching it for you.
It's not it. Not it, baby. So yeah. What about y'all? What are your least favorite movies that Mr. Driver's in?
Corey? Well, yeah. Can we just talk about how our buddy boy sure likes to do movies that are rough?
Yeah.
like, The Dead Don't Die.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Makes me so fucking angry. Because who knew you could make a boring zombie movie?
I did.
I didn't know that you could literally make me fall asleep with zombies. It's so horrible. It's so bad. But then, like,
it's the same director as Patterson. I'm looking
because yeah. You're just like, I can't. I'm not gonna lie. I couldn't get through Silence.
That's fair.
I could not. Patterson was fine. I'll never rewatch it. Like, yeah. It is just so slow. He's very beautiful. Like, the filming and everything is gorgeous. But, like, it is literally, like, a week of a guy's life, and they filmed it.
Yeah.
I don't want that shit.
And the guy is boring.
Like, the guy is fine. Here's the thing. You want to know the worst part about that movie?
Yeah, I do.
Every time I take a fucking quiz that says, which Adam Driver character would you marry, I get Patterson.
Of course you do.
And I'm like, oh, no.
You know which one I always get?
Sackler?
I always get Sackler.
Yeah.
This would be great.
You know? Oh my gosh. This sex would be wonderful. Yeah. Great. So another movie that he made, though, this one isn't one I hate. Okay. But I will never rewatch The Report.
Oh, same.
Like, I will never watch that movie again.
Same. It was so disturbing.
And that movie is about...
the CIA torture report.
Yeah, the torture report is what it's really. And it's about an Adam Driver. I almost said Sadler. Adam plays a character who is basically like a government lackey who just like kind of does reports. But he's stumbled across all of this stuff that like... completely against Geneva Code torture that America has been doing with these people, with these basically, is it Al-Qaeda in Guantanamo Bay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrendous. It is like fucking awful. And they really show a lot of it. And he's great. Joanne makes a cameo.
Yes, they act together and it's fabulous.
They act together.
And she just gets to tell him how terrible he is as a person. And it's all like, ha, 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 ha. I bet that was cathartic.
Yeah. we're going to do some therapy today. But legitimately, my answer will be The Dead Don't Die. Fuck you, Jim Jarmusch.
All right. So I was not joking.
Sarah?
I have watched... up until The Report is the one I have next on my list. So if you're looking at his filmography, I've watched everything from Not Waving But Drowning in 2012 up until The Report, except for the Meyerowitz stories, because I don't like Adam Sandler. Anyways, I did not like Bluebird, but he was in it for 5 seconds.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter, but it was like I just didn't like the movie at all. But if I had to choose a least favorite of ones he was actually in, it would be Hungry Hearts.
Oh, I have not seen that one. My student, one of my former students has seen it, and she was like, let me just tell you about it. You don't have to watch it.
Yeah, and I will tell you all about it. You did like it?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucked up, but it's in my realm of I really like, I kind of like fucked up.
Not me.
See, I'm more like,
yeah.
Corey and I both like indie movies, listeners. Mariah does not, and we know this. But I like Patterson indie movies.
Right.
And Corey likes Hungry Hearts indie movies, apparently.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This episode has such crazy technical difficulties. I swear to you. I swear. This is ridiculous. anyway, but so the last time that we got to talk, we were talking about our last
our least favorite movie, right? Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so our least favorite movies. So on the record, I would very much like to say that my least favorite movie that Mr. Driver's in is probably While We're Young. I could not finish that, and everyone in it is terrible. So I just couldn't. Like, not like acting wise, because like it's got Ben Stiller and Amanda Seyfried, like, and Naomi Watts or something. Like, acting is fine. I was just, it's another one of them Noah Baumbach movies. So it's just like everybody is garbage humans, and they're all terrible to each other because Noah Baumbach hates everybody. And so it's just like, yeah, that's one. And Jamie's just like, the character that Adam plays, Jamie's just like,
oh,
sneakily.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
He's very terrible.
He's the worst.
Good to know.
Terrible.
I have not seen it.
Anyway.
Oh, Corey, I remember watching it as soon as I realized he was not a good person. I was like, Mariah, what the fuck? He's garbage. He's a bad guy. Like, because for the most part, his characters are like lovable, goofy, I mean, intense. But not like actually a bad person, because I will stand by Ben Solo. And Kylo Ren is not actually a bad person.
Right.
So, like, I was just like, excuse me? There's nothing redeemable about this character?
Like, he's like actively, like, this is what all tells you everything you know to need to know about Jamie, the character. He never pays for dinner.
Yeah, no thanks.
He doesn't just wait stuff. And on top of that, spoilers, he's a lying, manipulative piece of shit. Like, that's a spoiler.
But here's the question, is Adam good at it though?
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's why it's so awful. Like, that's why it hurts so
he's
much.
Such a good actor.
Like, oh my god.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Absolutely. Like, he does have this way of like making even the worst people likable. Like, that's probably why I think he's such a good actor, is because, like,
well, and that's why
somebody as who should be super terrible, like Kylo Ren or like Ben Solo, is like, that's an instrument of space fascism, and yet, like, he can dig down into the even the most like terrible of people and find bits of humanity and like identify with them, and like that's why I think he's so convincing.
Oh yeah, well, and that's like we talked about when we watched This Is Where I Leave You, that if anyone else had played Philip Altman, we would probably have just kind of really fucking hated that character, because it's not like a great character.
But he's
able to play him so that you understand and empathize with like why he's like this spoiled rotten youngest child. And it's not as horrible.
Yeah. It's the eyes. It's all in the eyes.
Yes.
You know? Which apparently, fun fact that I learned from listening to one of those many interviews, is that he just practices like emoting while he's brushing his teeth.
I love
of course.
Like, just with his eyes. And I'm like, ah, that makes perfect sense.
It must be so fun to be.
I love that. Like, right? What a great strategy.
God, it must be so fun to be married to. She's like, well, you, I have to pay. Get on there sure. right now.
Okay. Absolutely true. Corey, did you talk about your favorite
right
movie?
Before. Another Jim Jarmusch, the Dead Don't Die. Yep.
Oh my god, so terrible. Like, both hilarious, but terrible. People who shouldn't, like, Jim Jarmusch and Noah Baumbach are, like, two white guys who, like, should not be allowed to make movies anymore. That's my personal opinion.
I had no opinion until I saw them make a boring-ass zombie movie, and I just, that made me so angry.
Absolutely. All right, so now moving on to, like, characters. We've talked about our favorite characters. We've talked about our least favorite characters now. If this is different than your favorite character, who do you think is the hottest character? Oh. Adam Slade.
I mean, Flip Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. He's so hot. Like, even though he's a cop, like... Maybe a special
right. flannel man. I don't
know. It's got, like, flannel. A flannel
going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the flannel. Oh, by the way, the Flip Zimmerman kid. Yeah.
I remember it was not your favorite when it's you very, smell tested them live on podcast.
I know it wasn't because, like, I know, so good, but it's yeah. much more subtle than I anticipated it being. So it's like very fall. Like, it sneaks up on you, kind of like, I don't know, an undercover agent of some kind. So here's my unpopular opinion, mm-hmm. mayhap. The hottest character is
mm-hmm.
Toby from The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. He's got a terrible facial. Terrible facial hair. He's a garbage human being. And he's crazy. But he's so fine. he's so fine. Like the confidence that that Adam plays is just like so hilarious and very good. He swears so much. I think it's one of the movies that he swears the most in, I think. Because it's just a random movie about Don yeah. Quixote and what is art and how do we, like, what happens when you become your characters. It's basically, like, method acting is stupid. and it's great. Also, he's mostly uh-huh. shirtless uh-huh. most of the time. Wears a V-neck, open-chested. His titties are out the whole time. He's dirty the whole time. His hair goes back in his little half man bun. It's so good. And he dances. He dances yeah. like tango salsa yeah. something or other. And makes out with a goat. It's great. The Man Who's Killed Don Quixote is one of the strangest movies I've ever seen, and I am so pleased with it. It's probably one of my. It's definitely one of my favorites, even though it's an.
No, I remember movie. I watched it and I was like, at the very end, I texted you and I was like, "Is this what the ending meant?" And you were like, "I think so." And we're like, "Okay, whatever. Like, we'll figure it out." Like,
I love it. It's so good because it's a Terry Gilliam movie, and so Terry Gilliam used to be in Monty Python, so it's like. Uh-huh. Very Python-esque humor, yeah. which I love. Not for everyone, for sure. But it definitely comes across. And like that movie was trying to get made for like mm-hmm. eons. Like I want to say like almost 20 years. And the guy that they actually got to play the Don Quixote character was initially cast as Toby when it was mm-hmm. first being developed. And then they like had to, it happened, waited, they wait, couldn't get it developed for so long that they just had to recast Toby and nobody could do it until Terry Gilliam's daughter went to go see Star Wars and was like, hey, dad, you should check out this guy. Like, which is kind of great.
Sarah, who's your hottest? Yeah.
So
anyway,
Sarah. I would just have to choose three. I'm going to say they're the three hottest. And they are Philip Altman, Flip Zimmerman, and Toby as well. I couldn't nice. Choose just one. I mean, really, any of them, I think you could argue the point for, depending on how you're feeling that day. Like, uh-huh. if you're wanting, like, a really intense researcher, you've got one, you know? So, or if you want like a soft, tender-hearted photographer, you have one. I feel like,
oh my god,
anything you want, you could probably find it. You know,
uh huh.
I could make an argument for any of them. I it's almost so true. Did say and the guy from Tracks, because he wears very short shorts. He's very soft.
Oh, the shorts are incredible.
Like, he's a very soft man, and I love it so much.
He's just like, hey, do you want water?
I'll do it on my own.
Or maybe my all my love? Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, all right. Right. Cool. Trax is a very long movie.
He is
movie.
The best part of the movie.
It's so true. Like, he's just so great. And he just pops up once in a while to take pictures, drop off supplies, and go, bye! So good. All right, so I have a bunch of other questions, Obvi, because, you know, what else are we going to do with our time, y'all? I know that we all think that this man deserves the hype, but do you truly, like, do you think the outside world gets it? Like, because sometimes I feel like they don't, because I certainly didn't. Like, the hype around him,
I think it often gets covered up in the whole, these crazy ladies think he's hot,
mm-hmm.
and they overlook the acting. I think, you know, to each mm-hmm. his own on the whether or not you find him attractive, like, that doesn't matter. I don't really care about the hype about that. I think if you are to believe the hype about something, it's that he is a really good actor. And I think it's, we've kind of talked about it, in these characters that we don't like, they're not, on paper, they're not redeemable, and yet you watch the movies, you see the way he acts, and you're like, oh, I really like that person, you know, or I see the redeemable qualities that were probably not included in the script, but they're because of his acting, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's beautifully put. Right?
My, oh, go ahead.
Because, like, my, oh, go.
My test is, how did my mother feel?
this is
the thing. So, we watched Logan Lucky after seeing two of the Star Wars movies with her, mm-hmm. and she just kept going, that's Kylo Ren? Really? He plays Kylo Ren? In like, he's just so different. And so, like,
mm-hmm.
because we love movies different, my mother and I, and, like, the three of us love movies, as you guys can probably tell based on our podcast, in an almost, like, hyper-aware way, where we're very analytical of things, and so we do watch the acting. So I think somebody who doesn't necessarily analyze things really well sees how good he is between two very different movies. That's when someone does deserve the hype. If that makes sense. It's kind of like listening to people, like nobody liked Venom in the, like, critics world, but Venom made so much fucking money because normal everyday people were like, this movie's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do normal everyday people, right, not absolutely. That we're not, but, you know, we sit and analyze movies way more. And so for us, yes, he deserves it. But, like, how does somebody view it who doesn't necessarily sit and analyze movies? And, I mean, my mom said he was incredible, so that's that.
For sure. I have this discussion with my roommate, because one of my roommates doesn't really like movies, but the other one, he is, like, not a huge fan of Adam, but, like, one of the things that he, like, the main criticism that my roommate has is that, oh, he just plays the same person in everything I see him in. And I'm like, but you've only seen him in, like, Girls, maybe another movie, and Star Wars. And, like, I have to, like, I to a certain extent, I do agree that, like, at some point he is kind of playing this archetypal, like, caveman child, like, at all times, because that is what he's best at, but he does have that ability to stretch and do other things. Like, I think that honestly one of the most like the thing that showcases his range is honestly Saturday Night Live. Like,
yes,
he hosted it three times, and every time I'm like,
he made me feel
shit, that's hilarious. Like,
bottle.
It's just oh my god, right? So I love that one, but my favorite sketch of his that really just, I think, showcases his the range, has the range, darling, is the Career Day sketch, the best sketch of SNL. where he's just like, oh man, he's just playing this like old oleo baron, and Pete Davidson is his son, and literally everybody in the room is cracking and breaking character, and he is just like, cut your top pinkin, I blew my your daughter's belly with my seed, my your son, our grandson is our final revenge. Like, it's just like, what the hell? And like that, everything that he does on SNL is just like, he can poke fun at himself, which is like very great. We love to see it in somebody who's very serious for the most part. But I just like the SNL sketches are just always delightful, and they show a great range of different character archetypes that we don't normally see from him. And he always does them very convincingly.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Totally. I agree. Now,
anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think we've said a lot. He's really
also,
fucking,
he's fucking funny.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. Some other things. Number one, he and his wife, he and Joanne, they run a nonprofit. Beautiful. Arts in the Armed Forces. Great. Performing shit for veterans. And
it's like the old school, what did they used to do in World War II? Like the, it's just
USO.
So cool. Like, it's like bringing stuff to people who are in really stressful situations, and they can have like an hour or five or whatever to just like enjoy something outside of where they're at.
Right. But the thing is, it's not like a USO thing, right? Because that's why it was founded, is that there was this gap is like, oh, soldiers can only handle the dumbest of entertainment and of art because they're soldiers and they're dumb. And Adam was like,
right,
that's not fucking true. It was kind of like piggybacking, I think, off of the Theater of War project, which, by the way, there's a book about it, and Adam does the audiobook, and it's incredible. It's the only audiobook he's ever done, and I spent your ass over time. It's so interesting. But it's like very similar, very similar concept of like putting like this high art in front of communities that would normally not get to see that art, and interpreting them in a way to, and like doing them very stripped down so that we're just listening to the words and feeling the emotions rather than focusing on the spectacle of the stage. And like, I believe that Adam started doing Theater of War by doing like Philoctetes, which is like this old ass like Socrates play about an army general, and doing it at like a actual base. And so I think that kind of just spitballed, because the Theater of War project does other things, like they do Prometheus Unbound, another old ass Greek play, but they do it prisons.
That's really cool.
Across the nation. And then they do, I think it's like Electra or something, or one of them other, okay, Oedipus, Antigone. They do Antigone for like people in hospice care. Like, it's like a whole thing. But spitballing on that whole thing, that Arts in the Armed Forces takes all of these playwrights, both in the normal, like, civilian world, and also playwrights who are in the armed forces, and takes really these big name actors, because, you know, he's got connections now, and puts them in and just performs them in front of these soldiers, families of soldiers, and all that jazz. And so, and this year, actually, because of the atrocity of The Rise of Skywalker as a thank you to like everything that Adam did for the show, for that character, Ben Solo. Like all of these fans put so much money into donations for Arts in the Armed Forces that they made their yearly goal by like January 15th and they doubled the goal by the end of January. Oh my gosh,
that's so cool.
I think I remember seeing that, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Like they were, yeah, it was so interesting. I feel like I've been talking about that for like ever, but I find it probably one of the coolest things that he does. So like, it's really rad. And then of course, I believe that one of the people, like the person who really does everything now is like scheduling and all that jazz is Joanne. So like,
yeah,
fuck yeah, Joanne. We see you, recognize you, we love you. And plus the ATIAF team is amazing. So if you want to donate money to them, please do. They can always use money to bring art to our veterans and armed forces people. And then the last, anything else to say about that? Because I talk so much.
Nope, it's great. I feel like out of, at least, you know way more than I do. So I'm just like, I love his movies.
And then, yeah, I think you know a lot about him as well, whereas I know more. I think I've seen more of his films. Because I did that project at the beginning mm-hmm. of quarantine. Or was mm-hmm. No, it was before quarantine. It was the beginning of the year. It was another coping mechanism to deal with The Rise of Skywalker.
Right?
I was like, I've got to watch everything absolutely. He's been in. And I mean, I started 2012. And I'm working my way. I finished the report since we Yay. Started. Filming this or recording this podcast, guys. I've now since seen the report. It's excellent. You should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I have.
It's so disturbing, though. Like,
oh, it, yeah. Like... I had seen Zero Dark Thirty, which did get a mention in the film. And I found it fascinating. It is in like one of those. I have several movies on a list of so intense but so amazingly good I'll watch every several years or so. Like I won't not watch them again. And so Zero Dark Thirty's been on that list, Platoon, and like The Report. But I swear I watched a documentary about the atrocities in Abu Ghraib, like on Netflix.
Oh, probably.
Like 5 or 10 years ago. And so some of this, like, information in the movie was not new to me. So, but it was still fascinating.
Yeah. Like, for me, it wasn't that the information was new. It was the visual of it. Like, visual of waterboarding and the visual of all of the, like, horrendous torture we put people through.
Yeah.
And, like, I just was like, great, Adam, you're wonderful. I will never watch this again. Like, I don't need that in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, that was probably, like, when it comes to, like, the concept of it and, like, the acting of it, that was probably one of the calmest mm-hmm. roles I've ever seen from him doing it effectively, right? Like I finally watched Midnight Special.
Love Paul Sevier.
And I feel like Paul Sevier is great, but like I feel like he took that, like all those notes that he probably got from Midnight Special as Paul Sevier and really applied them as Dan Jones. And like, because Paul is just like, I don't know what's happening, but he's kind of boring. Whereas Dan Jones, like, he should be a boring character. He should be. Like, he's uh-huh. just an analyst. He just writes. He's basically a glorified researcher, right? And yet, like, I was fascinated by mm-hmm. his journey, you know? And, nothing about his personal life was, like, in it. It was all about his professional work life.
The hint was that really he didn't have a personal life. And then that's why he was able to do what he could.
My favorite part of the report is when they're like, we have until Thanksgiving to finish this. Oh, well, that's like a couple of months away. Thanksgiving next Thursday, dude. Like, where have you been?
Right.
So good. Oh, man. So in addition to all of these movies that we've been talking about, he's also been in a lot of TV shows, you know. Of course, being a New York actor, he was on.
Everyone has been on Law and Order.
Because everybody's been on Law and Order. But it is from one of his Law and Order episodes that we get the nickname for the Adam Driver fans. Ladies, do you know what Adam Driver fans are called?
Rats.
What are we? Yes, we're rats. It's because you have to feed the rats on schedule for the good It's like it's one of his like characters from one of the Law and Order episodes he was on, where he's just like this random like lab technician and he's super crazy. I haven't seen the episode, but I've seen that scene, and it's just like everyone's very calm and like, you know, TV acting, and then he's being, you know, Adam Driver. It's just like hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Because he's also a baby. So now you know, Corey.
What it's from.
That's why we're called rats.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. I actually assumed it was something way less
and that's why...
kind. So.
I mean, I feel like it started off that way, like as like a derogatory term. And then like the rats were just like. They wore it with a badge of pride, because I feel like it started off more along the lines of like, you're a rat if you like ship Ray Lowe, which is Ray and Ben Solo. But you know, but then everyone was like, maybe so.
Right.
What are you gonna do about it, bitch? Like, which I love, because that's I feel like that's the beauty of us as a like fan base of like people who enjoy Ray Lowe and Adam Driver, is just like, what are you gonna do about it? Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do about it?
Yes, and
like you shouldn't like these people because they're not they're ugly or that's not a good ship. Who hurt you, my dude? Why do you care so much? you know. So that's all of the things that I have besides, you know, my playlist. But does anybody have anything else to add before I talk about my playlist?
That I do follow.
we do follow.
No, I don't think I have anything else. I think we've done a great job of covering all the things.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, my playlist is called Sounds How Adam Driver Looks.
And it is fire.
It is absolute fire. I'm pulling it up right now.
Available on Spotify.
Taking a little bit of time. Because I can't see. It is available on Spotify. It is beautiful. One of my favorite songs on it is From the Lonely Island. And really doesn't make any sense to anybody but me. Which is Mother Lover.
I mean, the song itself is great, so
I just think it
explain the reasoning.
So my reasoning is because like it is a weird song, and like because essentially it is about this is what it's about. It is like a Justin Timberlake, Andy Samberg kind of situation where they're like the dick in the box guys. And then for Mother's Day, they decide to fuck each other's mom because, you know, whatever. And so like, that is a weird concept. And it is a, in some ways, disturbing. Deeply. However, deeply disturbing. Yeah, absolutely. But however, that music, the production of it, the songwriting quality, the rhyme schemes are just so expertly done.
I get it.
And that's, like a great metaphor for Adam Driver. Like, you pick such a weird shit to do, man. why are you doing this weird ass movie? What the fuck is this? However, when I go and watch it, it's immaculate. Like, you did, you like it's not about, it's not, it's a song that is not half-assed. They went with this concept and they went with it. And like, that's why I feel like it represents them.
Okay.
So that's,
I like it.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's, thank you. I'm looking for it again. Okay, now that my shit is ready. Hold on. Hold on. Nope, that's not the wrong place. That is the wrong place, I mean. I don't know what's happening, everybody. Place. Can you tell that I'm frazzled? Always? Okay, so this song, this playlist, by the way, has like probably like 40 songs on it. It's 2.5 hours of music. Corey, do you have any favorite songs on that playlist?
I don't know it by heart. I just love the.
I know you don't, but
I just listen to it pretty often. Don't make
me. I feel another song on there. Oh no, I won't. I won't. Another song on there that like is kind of like Mother Lovers, where like the same reasoning is on there, is Tribute by Tenacious D, which is a song about meeting a demon and then singing the best song of your life, but you can't remember what the song actually sounds like, and then singing about it. Great. And then some really dark ones.
Here's the thing for me, like looking now at it, there are so many songs on here that I just absolutely adore, which I feel like that's how I feel about Adam. Like Wild Love by James Bay, Jackie and Wilson by Hozier, Back to Black, Amy Winehouse, River, Bishop Briggs, No Roots by Alice Merton, you know, Fire, Barnes Courtney, like Glitter and Gold by Barnes Courtney. Like some of these songs I listened to like just on my own constantly. So then playing the soundtrack, it's like, oh, it's comforting and homey, which I also feel like is kind of Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. And like a lot of the songs I feel like are dark and, but like, there's like, I feel like if something is dark, intense, or just is doing its thing and doing it very well and to the most, then it goes on the playlist. My newest selection is from this is Boys in the Hood, but it's the soft 90s cover of it. So it's like, well, the boys in the hood are always hard. It's so great. I'm like, ah, that's exactly it. Yeah. That's the one. So everybody should listen to it. Sounds how Adam Driver looks, but there's also a billion other ones on Spotify. So whatever you listen to,
here's the best part about your playlist, Mariah. The subheading or whatever is a little bit of rock, a little bit of pop, a little bit of honking noise.
And then I'm not wrong, no, am I?
Not even a little bit wrong. It's completely correct.
It's so good. So I'm always going to take that moment to self-promote my stupid playlist that I love so, so much. Yeah. So that's it for me and for Adam Driver and all the things I wanted to talk about.
Yay. I love it. Well, then, what are we loving this week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
I can go first.
Okay. So, I signed up for a vegan beauty subscription box called Kinder Beauty because they were having a discount. And they have this Ultra Night Serum by Dirty Lamb. And I put it on. It's an oil and you just pat it on at night and wake up and my skin is so soft, like I just pet my face all day. That's basically what I do. That and then I've been watching The Mentalist while in quarantine. So
is that a show that I should watch?
So it's 7 probably seasons. He used to pretend to be a psychic on TV until he went and talked about this serial killer And so then the serial killer killed his wife and daughter. And so now he's a consultant for CBI, which is the California Bureau of Investigation. They're like a branch of the FBI, but they're statewide. And so he consults on cases with them. And he's really snarky and he doesn't like to play by the rules. And he never tells them what he's doing, but he uses a lot of educated guessing and like being able to read people, like when he was in fact a psychic, you know, on TV to help solve crimes. So I am currently on season 3. When I started my quarantine on Wednesday, I was in season 2. So, you know, it's what I've been spending most of my time doing now.
So just to be clear, this sounds like a serious version.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It is definitely, and it still has lighthearted, you know, moments. Like it's not, but it's instead of like they actually like invite him there. He gets paid, like as opposed to where they, you know, Sean always inserted himself into it on Psych, and is like, choose me, love me,
right.
Right. Are...
Choose me.
Give
Love
me the attention.
Me. Yeah. It, but it's oh, it's so, great. And it's all on Amazon Prime. All 7 seasons.
Oh, like so if I have a Prime subscription I could just watch it.
So oh, I think it's great. Okay. There's a one of the guys like the team itself is very entertaining. There's a tall drink of water named Wayne Rigsby who's actually British in real life. It's a crime that he can't have his real accent, but it's delightful anyways.
Ugh. That's great.
So
love it.
That is a crime. That is a crime for sure. What have I been loving? I found this new playlist on Spotify. And it is incredible. I did not make it. Somebody else did. Let me find out what it's called. It's like a Halloween playlist. And it's all of these really fun. Oh, shoot. Would you just like work for me, Spotify? Anyway, it's a Halloween playlist, but it's not your typical Halloween playlist. It has like, you know, a Ghostbusters here and there. It has a Monster Mash. But it mostly has songs that are like creepy and witchy and have an aura rather than like actually scary songs. So there is this, I found a couple of new songs that I had never heard before, like this really cool cover of House of the Rising Sun that's super creepy sounding, like a little doll is singing it. Okay, it's called Halloween / Witchy Autumn by Samira Bouflimi. And it's a Halloween playlist to listen to every day in October with an eerie atmosphere and a fair share of 80s and indie influences. So they have like Bad Moon Rising, obvi, but and then they have like The Chain by Fleetwood Mac and a lot of Florence and the Machine, Bury a Friend by Billie Eilish, Stranger Things soundtrack. Of course, there's a lot of good Hozier songs down here, so that's why I was like, I knew it. So good. And the one that's the first one that's on here is Arsonist Lullaby, and I was like, good.
Correct.
Good. That is my second favorite song by him. And then, but there's also like some David Bowie, Brandi Carlile.
Ooh.
Tiptoe through the woods with me.
Yes, yes.
But one of the songs on here that I was like trying to find is called The Curse. And it's so creepy sounding, but like in a beautiful way. Let me find out who it's by. Because I was by Agnes Obel. It's very intense, very good, very good, very creepy, much spook. Go listen to this podcast. Don't go listen to this playlist. Halloween / Witchy Autumn. I'm sure you'll
love it. So I have been loving, honestly, as we said before, I broke my foot And it's been really great to just get to hang out with my mom. And we've been watching a lot of Downton Abbey, which I've never seen before. So this is like her third time through the series. And so it's just like really fun. You know, we all love period dramas in this house. And yeah, it's just been good. You know, quarantine for everyone. I know some places are more lifted than others, but it has been hard. And it's been nice to just get to be around my family.
Aww. That's beautiful. Aw, well, so because of different reasons, listeners, we are changing our order up this cycle because we have to. Sarah,
we're talking about the next time? Movie that is Van Helsing. That was released in 2004.
Yes!
Spooky season.
I'm so excited about it.
Yes.
Same director as the seminal classic and subject of a podcast, The Mummy. So I'm so excited to like really dive deep into terrible movie.
Yay. All right. I'm excited.
So good. So thank you so much for listening to the Drive Time Pod. This is a listener supported show, which means we make no money. So give us some. And you can say hi to us in a multiple of modalities. You can send us an email at thedrivetimepod@gmail.com. You can drop us a like and follow on Instagram at thedrivetimepod. And you can leave us a voicemail on Anchor if you have the Anchor app. Again, the Drive Time Pod. It's the Drive Time Pod everywhere. I hope that you have a wonderful time. I feel like we did not read the Feed the Rats on schedule, so maybe you got sick, but now hopefully you're fine. And please, whatever you do, do it with intensity. Be more Adam.
Perfect. Thanks for listening.
Bye.